The nine people on stage are shaping global artificial intelligence policy. Representatives from America, the European Union, global tech giants.
A year ago, the question was how to make AI safely work for people. Now, America's answer is clear. That's optional.
The AI future is not going to be won by hand-wringing about safety.
I was in the room during J.D. Vance's speech, and it did really feel like a shift in the entire space around AI regulation.
Right now, AI systems are deciding who gets medical care, loans, job interviews, often illegally, and no one's watching, which is exactly what the tech industry wants. Now, the most powerful companies in the world are mounting an unprecedented lobbying push to make sure it stays that way.
State lawmakers could soon be barred from regulating artificial intelligence for the next decade.
I guess shocked is the wrong word. More horrified, right?
And they're calling it a favor.
The biggest risk could be missing out.
But here's what the executives don't want you to know. Why the rush? Why buy influence at every level of government?
Why risk dismantling legal protections that took decades to build?
Because behind the promise of a golden age for humanity, they're hiding something much more cynical. About 6 years ago, a health insurer worked with hospitals to use AI to determine patient care. The algorithm saw less money spent on black and poor patients and concluded they needed less care. This wasn't a lab experiment, but something deployed across 200 million Americans. We have laws that make this illegal. In fact, we have a whole bunch of rules to protect people from all sorts of abuse. Antitrust laws to keep powerful businesses in check. Protections for consumers and children. Rules that keep your medical records private. Civil rights. Labor protections. Equal opportunity. Intellectual property. And resting on top of this imperfect foundation is us, society. But right now, companies are using AI in ways that break these laws. And most of the time, nobody knows until the damage is done.
Much of what we know is the product of, you know, whistleblowing or investigative journalism or independent research, rather than companies doing their due diligence and making sure that in the first place they're complying with the laws that we already have.
That's Sarah Myers-West. She previously advised the Federal Trade Commission on artificial intelligence.
The way that AI's opacity works is that it makes it harder for us to seek accountability.
Artificial intelligence executives tend not to talk about this. Instead, we hear stuff like this.
We can cure all diseases, we can travel to the stars, we have like unlimited power.
To be clear, there are some really promising applications of AI, but the biggest ones are in the future. Here's what we know is happening right now. Amazon hoarding recordings of your kids indefinitely? Your biometric data being harvested and sold to police departments? Companies rejecting job applicants based off of facial analysis? Health insurers are accused of using AI to mass reject medical claims. Landlords may use it to collude around rent prices.
There's probably more. We don't know because there's no federal laws that require companies to tell us what's actually going on. So that's where the state stepped in.
Right now, states like California, Colorado, and some others are considering bills that sort of address AI.
Brian Merchant covers technology. He's been watching Silicon Valley's AI push from the beginning. These bills? According to Brian, it's basic stuff. Follow the law. Be transparent about AI use. Common sense guardrails to ensure AI is subject to the same rules as everything else. Then in May, something changed. Buried deep in Trump's big, beautiful budget bill was a provision.
Now, the tax bill banned states from regulating AI for a decade.
I guess shocked is the wrong word. More horrified, right? It's pretty clear that the end game, if they're successful, is just no rules, no meaningful regulations around AI at all.
After weeks of negotiations, Republicans ultimately dropped the ban.
Just the fact that the Republicans and Silicon Valley are willing to sort of team up to try to do this, I think, is worrying enough, and it's sort of a sign of what's to come.
How does an industry manage to exert so much power that it could make it illegal for state and local governments to govern them at all for a decade?
follow the money, and that's really all you have to do.
That's Rumen Chaudhary, former AI envoy for the State Department. Used to run Twitter's ethical AI team, past tense, because Elon Musk fired her. Since ChatGPT triggered the current AI gold rush, five major tech companies have poured over $100 million into lobbying the federal government. But there's more to it.
We talk a lot about lobbying. There are also other ways in which companies influence what happens in the policy space.
Major tech companies bankroll academic research, steering the whole field.
This was not necessarily maliciously done, right? This comes from the fact that these companies have so much more money than academic institutions.
In some ways, they're richer than the government.
Foundations within this community have funded interns or full-time staff in Senate and congressional House offices around the U.S. as public interest technologists.
Theodora Sciadis worked with Rumen at Twitter. She was also a victim of Musk. But it goes a lot deeper than paying for congressional staffers to advise politicians. It's the actual bureaucracy itself.
The U.S. AI Safety Institute, housed in the National Institute for Standards and Technology under the Department of Commerce in the executive branch, increasingly has absorbed more individuals from this ecosystem.
All of this influence, the lobbying, the academic funding, the staffing pipeline, it's having exactly the effect they want. I started this reporting focused on Texas. Policy experts told me that Republicans there were working on a fantastic AI bill.
We're setting the tone, and it's being used as a model in other states to say, hey, this is data, it's important, let's protect it.
I called, emailed. None of the sponsors would talk to me about it. Then a few weeks later, this happened.
Representative Giovanni Capriglione is celebrating the success of his omnibus artificial intelligence bill.
But the bill was completely rewritten, gutted. A former FTC lawyer told me that it gave the industry exactly what they wanted. Politicians are falling in line, but the public? People want more AI regulation, not less. By almost 3-1. And when you've spent that much money and people still think you're full of there's only one move left.
We're in a race with China. And my view is if they're going to be killer robots, I'd rather they be American killer robots than Chinese.
There's for a long time been this discourse that emerges at moments where AI is very close to being more stringently regulated around there being an arms race between the U.S. and China.
Be afraid. Pure evil exists, okay? It does exist, okay? And these people, they plan on dominating us in, you know, in AI, in chips.
Industry voices argue that if we subject AI to all the usual rules, it will slow down AI development and cause the U.S. to lose the AI race to China. There's just one potential problem with their argument.
China actually has a very developed, responsible AI framework.
They are one of the best regulated AI environments in the world. I'm concerned that this kind of competitive language is a Trojan horse for deregulation and where regulation is warranted.
Even accepting the China threat at face value, there's no reason to deregulate because China isn't. In that case, what's the ultimate goal of AI companies? I asked everyone I spoke with.
Consolidation of power.
Maximize profits.
Power.
Profit.
And this is the dirty little secret of the industry.
So the AI industry has actually been, in some ways, in real financial trouble.
I'm standing here outside a Meta data center. Investors have been pouring money into AI infrastructure projects. This one has cost about $700 million. Overall, it's tough to give an exact amount on the industry's investment because all of this money is private. But everyone more or less guesses it's at about $200 billion.
There is no clear path to profitability.
The original idea was that AI was going to be sold to businesses, but that has failed to materialize for all of the reasons that AI just isn't working all that well in the first place.
These systems require the use of immense amounts of resources, compute. They assume that if they get enough people to use a product like ChatGPT, if it's popular enough, then there just has to be a way.
In February, a hedge fund did some back envelope math. If you strip out investments in data centers and training,
how much money was actually spent on buying actual AI products and services? About $16 billion, maybe less. To actually turn a reasonable profit, they need to raise that number to about $200 billion.
Industry revenue is growing, but the money behind it is getting nervous. Exact estimates vary, but the general thesis has been backed by major venture capitalists and investment banks. And there's one thing that potentially complicates business cases for these systems: our existing laws.
If there are any road bumps into how they can do that, then selling enterprise AI software suddenly becomes less appealing both to them and to the clients.
These road bumps are society's foundations. Fair credit reporting violations. When AI denies loans without proper disclosures. Fraud statutes when AI systems hallucinate financial results and deceive investors. Equal employment violations when you weed out candidates from women's colleges. Civil rights violations when a biased data set doesn't suggest medical care to poor or black people. And these protections are exactly what deregulation is trying to undo.
I don't see how that's good for anybody except for the few firms that are making a ton of profit off of it.
But here's the thing about companies that spend hundreds of billions of dollars on products with no clear path to profitability. They try to create their own reality.
So a lot of terms are being thrown around by CEOs that sound incredibly impressive. Artificial general intelligence is one.
That's a theoretical type of AI that possesses human intelligence and can perform any intellectual task a person can.
We said from the very beginning we're going to go after AGI.
I'm sure you've heard it before.
How long before we're literally dealing with a god?
It used to be that like AGI was this very binary moment.
OpenAI has had a definition of AGI in its charter, and I quote from its charter: highly autonomous systems that outperform humans at most economically valuable work.
Microsoft and OpenAI have an investment deal that further defines AGI.
In the contract language, specifically, that they would consider a system AGI once it had generated $100 billion in profits.
Let that sink in. Artificial general intelligence isn't about curing cancer or American dominance. It's about whatever makes them $100 billion. And suddenly, everything clicks. The state preemption bills, the lobbying, the policy capture, the China scare tactics, all of it designed to eliminate any regulation that might slow their path to power and profit.
So you just keep that in mind whenever you hear of, OpenAI talking about how it's going to cure cancer or build a technology that's going to benefit all of humanity. This is the aim. It's to build the most potentially profitable, the most business-friendly, the most worker-crushing technology in history.
Thanks for watching. Be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. If you have ideas for stories you want us to uncover next, please drop them in the comments below.